All right, I get to start a new sermon series this week. It is. All right, so turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, Pastor Tori has told me now that now since I have the verses behind me, she says she doesn't see anybody, most people don't bring their Bibles anymore. So I sure hope that you have Bibles and you read your Bibles. You know, I mean, I know some of you have them on your phone and stuff like that, but I hope that you're, one of these days, maybe some of you will still go old school and bring your Bible, you know, and won't be on your phone. All right, Jack, we got one, two, couple, three. All right, so we got like three Bibles in the house. How can I check it? How can you check it? Exactly. Thank you. Because you know what? Even though I put them up there, what if I put up the wrong verse or something like that, or I change the wording? Okay. All right, so Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's a few things against us, isn't it? Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, we'll finish that. This is just sermon one. See, I needed to preach a sermon series on the armor of God. Now, why? Well, one thing I've learned is with all the teaching that I've been doing about evangelism, with all the teaching that I've been trying to do about having the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, as a pastor, I need to be sure that I have you prepared, because you know what? Some of you might do it. Some of you might actually start witnessing. Some of you might actually catch that and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to be his witnesses. Now, if you do that, it's going to tick someone off. It is. Matter of fact, do you know that there's someone in the world today that was 100% against you doing exactly that? They don't want you to go out and, matter of fact, be a witness. Matter of fact, there's someone out there who wants to be sure that you are 100% not following in what God has called you to do. They don't want you following Jesus. They want you following yourself. They want you following other people. They want you following your own passions, your own desires. They want you following anything and everything other than God. Because once you start doing that, they're going to see you as a threat. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, we have an enemy. Some people call him Satan, Lucifer. Some people just use the generic term devil, right? But see, he wants to be sure that no one ends up following after God. He doesn't. See, but once you understand who you are in Jesus, once you've received the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, you are called to be his witnesses. You're called to share the gospel and make disciples. So in order for you to be protected, you have to have the full armor of God on. See, we were going to start basically a 6-week series. I'm going to try to cover each one, and on the very last sermon, I'm going to cover basically kind of two different topics. You'll kind of see where I'm going with this. Now, it says, matter of fact, if you have the full armor of God on, the Bible verse literally says you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, other versions say different things, right? Some of them say, you know, the wiles of the enemy. Some say evil plans. But look, the long and the short of it is Satan has taken a good amount of effort to try to mess you up. He does. Matter of fact, when you think of a plan, it's not just something he just, you know, designed on the fly. He knows who you are. He knows the things that bother you. He knows the things that cause you to easily stumble. He knows the things that if he puts in front of you, it's going to cause your focus to shift away from God into someone else. We need to put on the whole armor of God so we can stand our ground. As a matter of fact, it's not just stand your ground, but I love the way it says, stand firm, stand strong, stand solid. And look, the truth is, I wasn't just saying it this morning. I really do love you guys. And how irresponsible would it be for me not to teach you how to protect yourselves? That would be like putting someone on a bike, you know, with no training wheels, and then just pushing them and letting go and just hoping. That's like taking a child who's never swum before and throwing him into the deep end. Oh, I'm sure they'll get out somehow. That's reckless, isn't it? My job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So, you know what? I'm going to do that. And so it's time to not only learn, because each one of the different pieces of the armor of God, they protect you in many different ways. They really do. So we need to know not only what the armor is, but how do we receive the armor? How do we put it on? How do we maintain it? How do we, when the armor gets damaged, what do we do to fix things? So this morning, we're going to start off with the first piece. It's called the belt of truth. The belt of truth. So Ephesians 6, we're going to continue. Verse 14, it says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. See, in the Mallet House, we have two simple rules. Two rules. Rule number one, when you're told to do something, do it. Seems pretty simple, right? Because you know we don't put up with, in our home, rebellion. We don't. Look, if you're told to do something, it's very simple. You just do it. No, I've learned that direct disobedience, if it's not nipped early, causes lots of problems later. But I have learned, if you start when they're like this tall, and you not only enforce it, but you show them the benefit of it. See, parents don't sometimes do that. You need to show them that when you live your life this way, how it impacts all your relationships, how it's going to impact your relationship with your friends, with your school teachers, with your coaches, with basically every relationship that you have. If you teach them the value of why they need to obey something, that's a game changer, because then they're doing it not because they're afraid that you're going to punish them. They're doing it because they see the value in what you're doing. And really, that will create an atmosphere to have mature, healthy kids. Now, we have a second rule, though, because that's the first one. All right, you're told to do something, do it. The second rule, it's really just as important. And this is a rule that I totally took from my family growing up with my parents. It's, you always tell the truth. You always tell the truth. You have to. Matter of fact, that is a promise I made to my wife the day we were married. I will always tell you the truth. That is a promise I've made to every single one of my kids, is that, look, I will always tell you the truth. You may not like the truth, but I will always tell you the truth. And I'm telling you, that is a game changer in your relationships. When my kids know that if dad says something, that's the way it is. There's no instability then. There's no like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. It's like, ooh, he said that. Is he really going to follow through? Yes, he is going to follow through. Well, wait a minute. Dad said that that's going to happen. Take it to the bank, because that's going to happen. And that should be how you live with all your relationships. Now, I could tell you this, though, that doesn't mean the conversations are always easy. Have you noticed? I mean, I've learned that people say they always want to hear the truth, but in reality, they don't always want to hear the truth. Have you noticed that? I mean, well, sweetie, how did dinner taste tonight? Do you want the truth? Yes, I do want the truth. No, you really don't want to know the truth. You know, it's like saying, you know, does this outfit make me look fat? Or how does my hair look this morning? Or maybe my lack of hair this morning? I mean, look, if I come up to you and say, well, how was my sermon this morning? Do I want to know the truth? I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I mean, it's like your daughter coming, how do you like my new boyfriend? Oh, I probably have a couple things that I really would like to say. See, truth is kind of an interesting word, isn't it? See, We all hunger for it, but we kind of choke on what we get when people tell us the truth. But I can tell you this, without truth, there's no relationship. There isn't. That's why in the Mallet household, we hold truth. We value it so high. Because trust, once it's broken, it can take years. Have you noticed? It can take years to rebuild trust. Something, one split decision, one split word, one split action, years. Relationship built without truth as the foundation will crumble at the first storm. Ephesians 4, verse 25. So each of you must get rid of your lying. Speak the truth to your neighbor. We are all parts of one body. You know, the truth is, I would rather know the harsh truth. I would. Why? Well, at least then I know where the holes and the gaps are in the relationship, in the foundation. At least I know, you know? Isn't it better to find out before than you see the water gushing into your house and ruining things? Wouldn't you rather know where the holes are first? Because at least then you can make repairs now before the storms come, right? If you know the truth. Or you can at least say, all right, that foundation is DOA. I just need to scrap that relationship, or that needs a complete overhaul. We want to know the truth first. But see, what I find interesting though is that Paul, he's introducing this whole concept of the armor of God. He starts with the belt. That's the first piece of armor that Paul covers in here. Now, I'm a huge, I guess you'd say, fantasy science fiction fan. Huge. Ever since I was a little child, I grew up and I read every book that I could on knights and armor and, you know, fire-breathing dragons and swords and shields. I loved it. I've read every Tolkien book. I've read, obviously C.S. Lewis, but there's all these other Lawhead and a ton of R.A. Salvatore. There's a ton of different authors that I just love when it comes to fantasy. And the interesting thing is, as I got older, video games kind of started to come into big play. And I then was able to see those fantasy kind of knights and armor kind of translate from the pages onto a computer screen. And even to this day, I'm serious. I just kind of picture myself, you know, full armor, sword in hand, galloping off. But I'm telling you, if someone were to say, all right, Pastor Chris, describe yourself, describe what you look at, you know, what does your guy look like in that game? I wouldn't start with the belt. It just wouldn't be me. And I'd be like, you know, man, my sword would be like really big and my shield, man, I'd just be able to block everything. And maybe I'd, you know, show like my breastplate. Like, yeah, that'd be the shiny part that everyone could see, you know, or maybe the helmet, you know. Like a big one with the horns coming out, or maybe like, you know, like wings, you know, like a Pegasus kind of deal, or that's what, I would not start with the belt. So why did Paul start there? Well, let's look at the belt. Why don't we look at it during Bible time? Since this was written during the Roman occupation, why don't we look at what it was? Because he was writing this as a letter to the people at Ephesus. So what we learned, if you do some background, it wasn't just called a belt. It was actually called like a girdle or a sash. And it was actually a very important part of armor for the people, not only in times of war, but actually in times of peace. The people actually, during this time, they wore what was called a tunic. Basically, it's a fancy name for a robe. Now, if you were like just a common person, your robe would go all the way down to at least your calf, or maybe even all the way down to your ankle. Even the soldiers of that time, their tunic would go past the knees. And so what the Bible talks about, the belt, and some of your versions probably say this, it said that they girded their loins. Does this, some of your versions say that? Well, all that really means is, here, I'll get up here. What that means is they would basically grab the bottom of their tunic and they would pull it all the way up, almost like a wedgie, literally. They would pull it all the way up to their belt and they would attach it to it. And it would hold it in place. Now, why would they do that? Well, think about it. If you're like traveling, if you're working, if you're running, If you're fighting in a battle, well, if your robe went all the way down to the ground, or the further it went down, it actually encumbered you. It made it harder to move. You definitely couldn't run. So when you ever seen ladies in like a big dress, like trying to run, they'd almost be kind of like waddling. But literally, they would grab it and they would pull it all the way up, and it would give them a form of agility that they didn't have before. So it, number one, it stopped them from tripping. Now, another interesting part of the belt was that it was designed to keep all the armor in place. So the belt literally would be attached here, and often the breastplate that was put on over it would attach to the belt as well. Or worst case, it would at least be used to align every piece of armor. It was there in the front. I'll show you a belt in a minute or two. And it literally aligned everything from top to bottom. It's already up there. You can take that picture off. I'm not there yet. Another part of the belt that was actually very important, it was very practical. And that belt wasn't just for times of war, but it was in times of peace. Number one, the belt would have, usually that's where you kept your important things. That's where your dagger was kept. Matter of fact, the scabbard actually sometimes that held your sword or other weapons either would be attached to the belt or it would come across your body and it would be positioned right next to the belt. Matter of fact, that's where they kept their money pouch. That's where they kept any writing implement. That was all kept at the belt. Even, believe it or not, that's where they kept their smoking pipe. Back in those times, a lot of them smoked, and they kept their pipe right there on the belt. Now, why was that important? Well, it kept everything handy. So any time that you needed something that was important, it was at hand's reach. And matter of fact, you could very quickly see what you had or what you didn't have. All right, wait a minute, where's my sword? And you're not going to go into battle without your sword. Or, wait a minute, where's my money? You know, you would be able to very quickly understand what you had or what you didn't have. And finally, the Roman belt, they added something to it, which were basically strips of leather that would drape down in the front of the belt. And sometimes it would be very ornamental, or really what it was for is they actually would apply pieces of metal on top of it as well. Guess what that protected on a Roman soldier? Yes, it protected certain private areas of a Roman soldier that he did not necessarily want to be damaged during an all-in-out war. Now you can put the picture up. Okay. But this is actually one of the smaller belts in reality. The belts during war, that's why they got the name girdle from, is the actual part that went across that was either metal or leather was actually quite thicker. That's why it was almost called a girdle. It literally held everything in place. And you can see that's where like a dagger or other things would be attached. And basically it's just strips of leather, as you can see, these strips of leather that would literally hang down right in front of where, you know, certain things were. Very important to men. And matter of fact, why don't you put up the second picture? This is a picture of a guy in full armor. And if you notice, you see how this kind of looks like all bunched up? Because that's literally what would happen, is they would pull the robe up and it would attach itself, allowing them to be able to move around. That belt literally would attach right to the breastplate, kept it in place, and it allowed them to be able to be fully functional. Now, what can we learn of why Paul decided to use a belt to represent truth? Because, look, I believe that, number one, the belt was picked first for a reason. I also believe that the belt was linked to truth for a reason. Matter of fact, I think that if we actually look at what I just covered, kind of like four different descriptions of why the Romans used a belt, I think there are actually a really cool spiritual parallels that if we kind of connect them, it would allow us to not be caught with what does a belt normally used do? It's keep your pants up. So look, if we understand why we have the belt of truth, we won't be caught with our pants down. We won't be caught basically exposed in a way that would not allow us to be fully protected. And hopefully it gives us what we need in order to accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. So let's look. Number one, the belt of truth gives us the ability to move without tripping, right? Because the definition of truth is that which is based on facts and reality. It's honesty, it's authenticity, it's accuracy, it's candor. It means not concealing. Now, right, one of my favorite movies, it's got one of the best lines of all time. It's in a movie called A Few Good Men. And for some of you who've seen it, you already know the line I'm talking about. Matter of fact, because I'll set the scene for those who haven't seen it. Basically, you have this big, tough army general, and he's on trial, and he's up, and he's being questioned by the lawyer, and they're kind of going back and forth, and the lawyer's trying to basically get this man to admit he did something wrong. And so he's questioning him, and you can tell this general's just getting madder and madder. And eventually, it comes to the point where the lawyer looks at the general and says, "I want the truth." And then the general looks at that guy and goes, "You want the truth? Yeah, I want. You can't handle the truth." Like, it's one of the greatest lines. And then he goes in this long dialogue. But it's just, there's something about this Jack Nicholson in this role where he's just kind of like, I don't know, I liked it. It was just like, it's a great movie from that perspective. But the truth is, we believe that lie. We really do. We believe the lie that people can't handle the truth. You know what we give them instead? We give them what we want them to know. Or we tell them what we think they want to hear. We don't tell them the truth. You know what I've also learned is, once you lie to someone, have you noticed how much easier it is the next time? Have you noticed that? I mean, you stretch the truth to one person, right? Then the next person, it's an even bigger one, you know. You've added even more stuff to, you know, to that story. And then by the time you get to the third or the fourth person, you don't even remember the truth anymore, because you've stretched it in so many different ways that you don't even remember. I don't even remember what I told him or her, but matter of fact, I don't even know what the truth is anymore. And that's a problem. Matter of fact, Walter Scott, you've probably heard this quote before. You just may not know it was him. He said, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Have you ever seen someone kind of tripped up in their own kind of web of lies? Have you seen that? You know? And how sad is it? You know? I mean, it's like every time we lie, what I've learned, it's kind of like throwing something in our way. Every time that you lie, it's like putting an obstacle in your path. I mean, we have a hard enough time for us, you know, to kind of dodge what the world throws at us. Why would we want to put other stuff in the way? That's what the belt of truth is for. The belt of truth is to make sure that at least you're not tripping over your own stuff. You're not tripping over your own cloak. You're not tripping over your own tunic, your own robe. See, by pulling it up, it allows you to have a level of mobility where if a pit or a obstacle were to come, you'd be able to get around it. Is it really easy to do that, you know, if you're holding your pants up? But, you know, let's say you don't have a belt on, you're kind of walking around this way. Now, if it's easy going, you know, there's no problems, no storms, yeah, you could probably walk around like this and get around stuff. What do you do when a battle comes? You know, I was kind of thinking about that. If someone were to walk around, you know, and they didn't have their belt on and they were in a battle, I got two hands, right? So what am I picking? Am I putting a shield on? Or am I going to use the other hand? Am I going to hold my sword? Which do I do? So either one way, I've got a whole side of me that's just unprotected, or I can't actually do anything other than defend. The attacks will never stop because I'll be never able to defeat the enemy that's in front of me. So we can be our own worst enemies, can't we? And the lies that we do just throw stuff out there and out there and out there and out there, and we end up tripping over ourselves. I love this verse. It's in Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. It says, "If the Lord is pleased with the way a man lives, he makes his step secure. Even if the man trips, he won't fall. The Lord's hand takes good care of him." Look, we're not perfect, right? Things will get in the way. It's just the way things work. We may even stumble when we're walking, right? don't you want the safeguard of a heavenly Father who would be able to put out a hand and hold you up? See, God's hand steadies you when life causes you to trip and fall. Now, think about it this way. If you've got one hand holding up your pants, how do you hold on to the hand of God? See, it's either your pants go down and you're exposed, or people hold their pants up so no one sees the fact that I don't have truth in my life. I'm not a person of integrity. See, and Mary, how do you live? Well, I'm not going to go there. Number two. So, A, the belt of truth helps us from not tripping. Number two, the belt of truth keeps the breastplate from falling off. That's what it was designed to do. It actually kept the whole bit of armor aligned. Matter of fact, once you lose your integrity, people don't trust you anymore, right? And there's a domino effect, isn't there? And look, just because your armor doesn't fall off doesn't mean that it's aligned in a way that can actually protect you. See, if your breastplate is supposed to be like on straight and it goes crooked, what's going to happen? Holes in the armor, ways for enemy to get in and attack. See, you know what I've also learned too? If you're someone who does not walk in truth, you know what you end up walking in? Fear. You know why? Because you're always looking over your shoulder. Like, oh, is that the person that I lied to? Ooh. Or is that the person, oh, I know I lied to them. What did I tell them? So when they come and ask me, I don't look like an idiot and tell them the wrong thing again, because I know I didn't tell them the truth, but honestly, I don't even remember what I did tell them. I mean, can you live a life of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, if you're not walking in truth? I don't think you can. It keeps your breastplate on. Number three, the belt of truth stores and helps you find important things. The belt of truth stores and helps you find important things. Look, if you want to find your dagger or your sword and you're in a battle, you look to your belt. If the belt's there, you know that your dagger's there, you know where your sword's going to be. You know where it's going to be hanging. Look, do you need finances in your life? Well, you know where your money belt is. Its rear money pouch is right next to the belt. It's where you hang it. It's where it is. It's where God's provision is in your life. See, one thing I've learned is that truth really shows how dependable you are, doesn't it? Because truth is dependable. If someone says they're going to do something and they're a person of truth, what do? Exactly what they've said. Matter of fact, do you even need to question? Do you even need to wonder or worry? Do you have certain people in your life when they say something, you can take it to the bank? You know that no matter what, it will get done. They may not want to do it. Stuff may happen, but no matter what, they're going to get it done. They may be a little worse for wear because of it, but you can trust that when they say something, their word is a commitment and it's going to happen. Look, are we as Christians, are we dependable? Can people look at you and say, Pearl said it, it's going to happen. Don't have to worry about it. Matter of fact, I don't even have to wonder or worry. You know, I don't have to check up on her because Pearl said it. She has her belt of truth on. See, one thing I've learned is that when you lie, you know, the sword of the Spirit, when you quote the word of God to people and you're not someone who's trustworthy, do they believe you? Matter of fact, have you ever had someone who you knew was not trustworthy and they're quoting Bible verse after Bible verse at you? Did that even do a dent to you? You're, in your mind, you're like, you're just a hypocrite. You say all these things, but you don't actually do any of the things that you say. See, the belt of truth, it makes you very dependable because you know where everything is. And you know what? You know when your sword's not there. You know when your finances are gone because you live a life that is aligned with truth. You don't have to wonder if God wants you well taken care of. It's always there, right where we need it. Finally, number four, the belt of truth protects one of your most sensitive areas. It's actually your ability to reproduce. That's what your belt of truth does. I can tell you this, your ability to bear fruit comes very easily damaged when you don't walk in truth. Have you noticed that? When you can't trust people, do people even want to be around you? They can't trust you? Do they want to be around you? I want to be around you if I can't trust you. Matter of fact, do you want anything from someone that you can't trust? I just baked you some brownies. I think I'll skip those brownies. If I can't trust you, I'm sure not eating something you made for me. See, when you don't have the belt of truth on, your witness disappears. It does. You have no chance of being able to model for someone how you live a life that God loves, that God honors. So how do we put on this piece of spiritual armor? We read it once, Ephesians 4:25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Look, telling it is a choice, isn't it? Can anyone make you tell the truth? Well, I guess I could try. But the reality is, the only person that you can make tell the truth is you. That's it. That's the only person you can make tell the truth. Matter of fact, the interesting part, though, of this verse, it's the end of it. It says, because we're all parts of the same body. Have you noticed that when you don't walk in truth, it doesn't just reflect poorly on you? It reflects poorly on everyone around you, doesn't it? See, when we speak the truth, we do it because we're part of the body. We're part of a family. And you know what? Look, if I'm up here quoting a bunch of lies, if I'm out in the community and I'm just known as a liar, and they're like, "Oh, you attend really Faith Christian Assembly, Pastor Chris? He's your pastor, right?" Does it just reflect poorly on me? It reflects poorly on you as well. I'm telling you. Look, if you're in a family and your son or your daughter lies all the time, does that reflect on you as a parent? Yes, it does. It reflects. Look, we're all part of a body, so we speak the truth in order for us to all remain effective, so we all can do what God has called us to do. I love this verse in Ephesians 4, verse 15. It says, instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in any way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And we should look just in the same way that, you know, I say that, you know, your love, you know, make sure that whenever you speak truth, it should be covered in love. But I think it also goes the other way around, that whatever you do, make sure it's covered in truth. Because to be honest, you want to make something unpalatable or where someone does not want it, do it in a way that seems deceptive. Do it in a way that seems a little off. Do it in a way where someone has to question your motives or, wait a minute, why are you doing this? Oh, no, don't worry about it. Just here, it's all yours. I'm telling you. When you have truth on, it keeps everything aligned. So how do we repair this piece of armor? Let's say that, honestly, you look at your life and it's like, you know, Pastor, this is an area where I'm challenged. Truth is not something that was modeled for me growing up. And to be honest, it's not something that's easy for me. Well, Colossians chapter 3, let me start in verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8, it says, but now here are the kinds of things you must get rid of. You must put away anger, rage, hate, and lies. Let no dirty words come out of your mouths. Don't lie to each other. You must have gotten rid of your old ways of life and its habits. You have started living a new life. It's being made new so that what you know has the Creator's likeness. Look, we may not like putting to death certain things in our life. We don't, especially ones that are habits. Have you noticed? Habits are not easy things to break. And I'm telling you, I remember talking with one of my sons. He got in a habit of speaking words that were just wrong. And he said, you know, Dad, once I started, it was so hard to stop that habit because especially some of the people that I hung around. I heard it all the time, and it made me want to do it more and more. But see, we wonder why in our lives we end up tripping over things that before we never tripped us. We wonder why the rest of our life seems to be falling apart or it's not in alignment anymore. So Something might be missing. We wonder why we can't seem to find the tools that we know God has not only given us, but he's promised us. Look, he's given us the Word of God. Should be ready and available. He's given us finances. God promises that he's taking care of our needs. Well, if the belt isn't there, you may not be able to see it. We wonder why we see no fruit in our life. We wonder why we don't see anything new coming from our life. Why are we not reproducing? Well, if the belt of truth isn't there, then certain things get damaged to where they're not have the ability to reproduce. So look, what does that mean? It's time to repair our reputation. How do we do that? Well, this is a conversation that I have with my kids all the time. One, own your mistakes. Own your mistakes. Look, if you've been saying things that are untrue, own them. Admit them. Repent from them. Sometimes, if it's appropriate, you got to go make it right with that person. If you've been not being truthful, go to them and admit, look, that wasn't true. That was a lie. You believe that I'm this? I'm not. I'm this. Make things right. It's not a quick process. But look, if we want to be able to not only stand, but the Bible says stand firm when attacks come. It's not if, but when attacks come, we need the belt of truth on. All right. So in conclusion, Ephesians 6, let me read 10 through 13 again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. So we have an enemy. The enemy wants you to fall. Matter of fact, you know what I've learned? Sometimes the enemy is okay with just knocking your reputation and not taking you out completely. You know why I've learned that? Is that there was a time, did you remember a number of years back when there was a number of major athletes and they came out and said, I'm not a role model. I'm not. Remember, there was a number of them and they were almost very angry. They said, I'm not a role model. Your parents are your role models. Do not follow after me. You know what I've learned in life? You don't pick whether you're a role model or not. You're not. You are a role model. Matter of fact, if you've been in the church for any period of time, I can promise you there are people that are watching you. There are people that are watching you, and you know what? Whether they're willing to admit it or not, they're following after you. They're patterning their life after you. Because, look, if you have confessed and said, I am a follower of Jesus, what you're saying is you can do what I do. Paul used to say that, right? Imitate me. Look, I'm not perfect, but follow my example. Whether we like it or not as parents, your kids are watching what you do and they're following it. If you're in church, people see you and they watch what you do. If you're at work and you've told people, I'm a follower of Jesus, whether they're willing to admit it or not, there are some that are watching you and they're following what you're doing. School, team, doesn't matter what area of life. Belt of truth. You can't allow yourself to be tripped by your own stuff. We have enough to deal with in this world. You have to keep your life aligned. Has to be. Because you know what? When that armor twists to the side, you know what I've learned? There's a big gaping hole where the shoulder is. Well, if it's right here, right to the heart. If I don't know where the Word of God is, if I don't know where my finances are, if I don't know where the tools are that God has given me to be effective are, I'm not going to be able to accomplish His purpose. Look, if I don't have something down in front protecting my ability to reproduce, then you know what might happen? Look, either A, I will never be able to be a witness and get people to begin to follow Jesus. Or worse, the disciples that start following after my example, they won't be following Jesus' example. They'll be following something even worse. Belt of truth. Now, next week, what I want to start doing is I want to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. One thing you'll learn with the breastplate, it literally is attached to the belt. It's impossible to live a life of righteousness unless you live a life of integrity and a life of truth. So you'll see that. So why don't you stand with me? Now, one thing I've learned when it comes to teachings, they're not as exciting as when pastor gets all fiery and throws you lots of testimonies and things like that. But my goal is, over this next couple weeks, is you need to have specific training and instruction that's inside you that's important, that is not just something that we just get all excited about. Because look, a message about not telling lies, it's not really exciting, is it? Give you a little sneak preview. Next week, we're talking about living a life of righteousness. I'll tell you this right now. It's not possible. There's only one who's righteous. It ain't you. It's God. So it's not fun to talk about something where I'm going to immediately say, by the way, it's not possible for you to live your life this way. Look, feed shod in peace. We don't live a life of peace in this world today. We live a life of social media where all we want to do is poke each other. And we really could give a rip if you don't like our opinions or not. We don't live a life of peace. We live a life of, this is my opinion, take it or leave it. So a lot of these lessons are going to sometimes hit home and they're going to get a little uncomfortable. But if you have the full armor of God on, it will allow you to stand firm. Stand strong. Sometimes, like I said, it's like some dinners, you know, you have like pizza and ice cream, and you're like, woohoo, that's great. Other times tend to have a lot of vegetables. He's going to be veggie heavy.